Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Farm Credit Illinois office in Mount Vernon, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the seventh day of February. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, of course, traveling today. We'll be in McLeansboro this evening and then tomorrow in Sycamore with First National Bank at the University of Illinois, Illinois Farm Bureau's Center for Agriculture. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll join Don Day to take a look at the weather forecast, and we'll hear a bit more about the cash grain markets with Kim Holzapfel. That all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here's what some of the numbers look like in Chicago for the day. March corn at $3.685, up 4 3/4 on its settlement price. The May at $3.76, 4 3/4 higher. July at $3.83 1/4, up a nickel. And December corn at $3.96 1/4, up 4 1/4 cents. Settlement price for the soybeans, $10.42 3/4, 6 3/4 higher for the March. May at $10.53 1/4, up 7. July $10.61 1/2, 6 1/2 higher. November beans at $10.19 1/2, up 2 1/2 cents. Bean oil down 14 cents at $34.30. The bean meal for the day at $3.35.90, up $3.10. Soft red winter wheat, March contract, 8 1/4 higher at $4.30 3/4 of a cent. July at $4.55 1/4, 6 1/2 cents higher. Hard red July at $4.64 on its settlement price, up 3 cents for the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the February is at $117.67 1/2, $1.25 higher. April at $116.50, up 87 1/2 cents, and March feeders at $124.22 1/2, up 70 cents for the day. April futures there at $124.62 1/2, a dollar and a nickel higher. Lean hogs February contract up $1.02 1/2 cents at $72.37 1/2. The April at $72.17 1/2, 95 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let's start with some of the outside markets now. Crude oil at $51.94 a barrel, down about $1.07. Ethanol futures at $1.57 6/10, 3 6/10 of a cent higher. Heating oil in the March contract at $1.61 6/10. This is diesel fuel, 1 1/10 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline, the wholesale price, down 3 1/10 of a cent at $1.47 8/10. And natural gas for the day, up 7 8/10 cents at $3.12 8/10 of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average been trading just above 20,000. That's about 38 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 100.26 is up 0.395, and gold futures on the day at $1,233.30, up $3.30. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. It'll be cloudy out there, windy too. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible. A high 60 degrees today. On a west wind at 20 to 30. Skies will remain cloudy overnight. It'll be windy this evening with a low of 28. The winds will turn to the northwest, and then tomorrow that will bring us a 70% chance of less than an inch of snowfall with a 32-degree high. Winds again out of the north at 10 to 15. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy sky with gusty winds developing overnight. Will drop to a low of just 16 degrees. Winds will remain out of the northwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny skies during the day, and it'll be windy, a high of 27. Thursday night, partly cloudy. And then the evening will give way to just cloudy skies overnight, a low of 19 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the seventh day of February. I'm traveling today on Mount Vernon, Illinois. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
So we're talking a little bit early today, at the noon hour. Tell me about trade so far through the season, through the session.
It's been sort of lackluster. We started out a little bit easier after a very quiet evening, a little bit of down pressure coming from the dollar strength over the early this morning, a little bit of talk about a scandal in the French government elections coming up that it might push things more for the candidate as if for France to exit the European Union. So that sort of quieted down as the day went on, and we've traded a very close range on both the corn and the beans. We've seen basically when we back up a little bit, the farmers quit selling. But they're saying that the farmers have sold about 80-85% of their old crop beans right now.
So what do you think about that as it relates to anything left in the terms of marketing the old crop? I would think, despite what prices are, that they might be more willing holders of those soybeans than they have been in the past.
That's very true. I think that, number one, and number two, the commercials have control of the majority of the beans now, and generally, we see the market work up more so when commercials have them than when farmers have them. You know, also, if we look down to South America, the container ships waiting to load beans over the next month are estimated to be twice as many as they were last year at this time of the year down in Brazilian ports. So that means that, and we looked at 60 million shipped out of the U.S. last week, so export business looks very good both in South America and in the U.S. right now.
So we know that in Chicago, the funds are heavily along the marketplace. Is that correct? So they're betting on a higher price still. The price of soybeans remains stronger than most believe it should. More soybeans than normal are in the hands of commercials at this time. And we have a big crop coming out of South America that's just about to move into the marketplace. The only item I think in that might convince me, I don't know, it's on both sides of the market. Do you think there really is much upside potential for soybeans? It would seem that the South American crop, as big as it is in Brazil, would be the gorilla that might hold this down or move it lower.
You know, it seems very, very hard to predict a big move up from here. That's why we've talked, bringing the guys adding extra acres, as to we wanted to try to have about $10 floor in their beans for the extra acres that they were going to add, because we thought that it could be hard. You know, we were talking to some of the long-range weathermen. I know, one of Paul's favorite weathermen is saying that this is not going to be near as good a growing season looking ahead, and we could see a few weather blips going on. You know, nobody's yelling for that big drought like we had with Weather 360 last year, but there is going to be some blips and bumps in the roads as we look at it. But technically, this market looks fairly strong.
What do you think the United States Department of Agriculture will show us in the way of changes, either in the world agricultural supply and demand estimates on this Thursday morning at 11 a.m., or in the world production numbers?
Well, you know, if we look at the average guesstimates here like that, we're looking for corn to be reduced a little bit from the January. You know, it was 2.355, then they're looking at 2.335 for their guesstimate here. They're looking to come down 10 million on the carry on the beans from 420 to 410. So not a lot right there as far as we go. So, you know, there is talk that we should increase the bean usage, the corn usage for exports, also the grind on the beans, and that also that we would see a smaller amount being, or the exports being kicked up too. So it is just there, but we don't see any big changes that should be popping out of this on what we're seeing or what they're talking about right now.
What do you think about December corn at $3.93?
I think there's a whole lot of people that like it about 10 to 15 cents higher, and we'll get some, and we'd be selling some. As we're looking here, they're to sell more old crop corn. They're probably 35 to 40% sold, the farmer is. They're looking for 371 to 372 before they start any more sales right now. and would like it to kick up a little bit. I think that if we could get $4 cash corn in a lot of places, why, we'd buy a lot of new crop corn.
And finally, you mentioned that farmers have been encouraged by you, by many others, if they're going to add additional soybean acres to go ahead and make a sale. The question really is, how many acres do we think we've added? I know we'll know at least USDA's guess on March the 31st.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and there's all sorts of differentiations. It's going anywhere from 3 to 5 billion acres more beans than last year. I imagine we'll be somewhere in between that, somewhere in that 3 to 4 million more acres. Now, that's if the ratio stays this way as we get closer to planting. You know, if the corn could get a little surge here up or the beans set back a little bit, we could go back to being a little more even. I know that some of the universities put out some numbers of their corn to beans and how much they made or lost per acre, and that some of the states were saying it was closer, not as much difference as what we were thinking when we were looking at things. So, but I think for right now, I think it's still in favor of beans to put some more acres of beans out to switch to maybe a 60-40 instead of a 50-50 split for all these farmers.
If you thought very much, and I guess, about the fundamental reasons for soybeans to be above $10 in their futures price, and what makes more sense, what is it that's really holding the marketplace higher?
Well, I think it's world demand. I mean, basically along the way, we've seen some tremendous demand throughout the world. China's been very, very aggressive. They haven't set back here, and we look at things. You know, and our livestock's done and had good, you know, we've made some money on livestock this year. They're up to levels where it's profitable to produce them. So we're seeing some good feed usage along the way. You know, and we were still trying to make up for last year when Brazil had their drought and they were shortcomings there, and then the Malaysian palm oil being so short along with it. But, you know, if we would actually increase and Brazil hangs in there and we don't see any more problems in Argentina, we could build back bean stocks pretty fast at the end of this year.
And I think that's a way of saying that it's not about domestic supply completely or very much as it relates to the U.S. soybean, maybe basis as we move into the coming months, because we won't have the export market and it will shift to South America, but about the total supply across the the planet of soybeans, about a 50-50 switch between North and South America, and it's just a different kind of marketing world that we live in today.
It sure is. I mean, it used to be, you know, we were in control of the bean market on what happened here in the U.S., and that's what really moved it. But they've moved up, and let me tell you, it's a 50-50 split anymore.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 7th day of February. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Just a reminder that Wayne and I talked earlier today over the noon hour as I'm traveling in the southern part of the state. I was in Mount Vernon this morning. I'll be in McLeansboro this evening, thanks to the folks at Farm Credit Illinois for taking me along as we discuss the markets, risk management, and crop insurance. Tomorrow, I will be in Sycamore, Illinois, courtesy of the First National Bank, along with three of our regular panelists, including Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, Chuck Shelby from Risk Management Commodities, and one of our special guests, Rich Nelson from Allendale. That starts fairly early in the morning. If you'd like to go, I'm sure you still can. Just call the folks at First National Bank and check it out. We'll be in Sycamore at the Center for Agriculture. That's the DeKalb County Farm Bureau building. U of I Extension is located in that building as well. Again, that's tomorrow in Sycamore, tomorrow morning. Chuck and Rich and myself and Mike Zuzolo will be there at 11 o'clock, and Mark Gold will be there in the afternoon. Of course, I'll try to bring you some of that programming during the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report right here on Illinois Public Media. You can always find it online where? Of course, at WILLAG.org. We're traveling again today with Farm Credit Illinois in Mount Vernon this morning and then McLeansboro tonight. Tomorrow, I'll be with First National Bank in Sycamore. For those who want to come out, you can visit with the First National Bank folks up in the northern part of the state to learn more about that. Just give them a call. Kim Holzapfel has been out with us a couple of different times on the Farm Credit Illinois series and joins us now. He's with TGM, Total Grain Marketing out of Effingham. And I'd like to ask you just a little bit about about the cash grain situation at this time. You discussed the soybean market with the folks in Mount Vernon as it relates to basis, what you have on hand in the elevator system, and I think at this point where you feel like you are, and the situations are pretty interesting. Can you tell me about it?
Well, the producers have been very active selling soybeans this year. So as a company goes, most of the bids this year were quick shipment type bids. We didn't have a lot of time to get rid of them, so we've had to continually hedge soybeans. So we're carrying a fairly large hedge position in soybeans right now. Basis levels have not been all that good, so we continue to hedge them. We've got carries in the futures market, so we're able to roll them out with a little bit of carry. I think we're trading 10 and a half cents on March May soybeans. So we're kind of waiting on this basis to come back. We've had decent Gulf demand, but we just couldn't get all our beans shipped quick enough to get them down to the Gulf. Same way with the St. Louis and Mount Vernon market. Those are really export markets, at least right now, and we just can't get rid of them quick enough. I think the Central Illinois processors are bringing beans in out of western Iowa and Minnesota, maybe the Dakotas, and doing it at some fairly cheap levels from a basis standpoint. So they're competing with our beans. So we're carrying a very large hedge position right now for soybeans.
Most often when we hear about elevators owning any crop, we say that's in strong hands. Why is that the case?
Well, we can pick up carry. We got storage, number one. I mean, if our bins are empty, we don't make any money. So we hedge grain. We try carrying as long as we can, as long as there's carry in the market. We'll be looking at that June-July time frame, trying to pick up some carry, some extra pennies out in the June-July time frame. But, when the elevators have got them, they're basically just looking for a basis move is what they're looking for, not a flat price move.
Let me turn this around just a little bit, because I think what I was trying to say is that producers and others often say it's in strong hands, meaning producers may have sold at a lower level and that the price is more likely to go higher. Although I don't think you believe that, or many believe that, for soybeans this year. However, most of the soybeans in the countryside, or a lot of them, have already been marketed. That's not unusual at this time, but still, to have so many of them left available and not move through the system seems to be a little odd.
Yeah, that is, and you're exactly right. Typically, when the beans move to the elevators, they're moving them onto the processors, moving on to the export market. They move so fast this year. We've seen the beans move from basically from October to January. We've seen flat price rally. Farmers sold them heavily, and like I said, we just didn't have the logistics to keep beans moved into the marketplace as fast as we could have or should have, and so you end up hedging more beans than what you expect, and I think that's where most country elevators are sitting right now. They've just bought more beans than they can physically move, and they can just come quicker. They didn't come over a 12-month period. They come over a 6-month period this year, and we just got a lot of beans stacked up on us right now.
So the export market, again, soybeans coming down to South America should begin about now and in real push a bit later. There are, I think, some boats lined up to move those soybeans from South America.
Yeah, I think they've got a pretty good lineup down there right now. And we have seen some really good export demand out of the U.S. It will be a record export demand out of the U.S. on beans this year. So we're fortunate to have had that this year. But it's lasted a little bit longer, maybe another 2 to 3 weeks longer than what we thought it would. But we are looking for that to dry up immediately right now and everything go to South America.
Again, we're talking with Kim Holzapfel. He's from TGM Total Grain Marketing out of Effingham, Illinois. One of the things you told the producers here in Mount Vernon this morning, and you don't get political, but you do happen to know the nominee that Mr. Trump, the President of the United States, has made for U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue. You've met him a couple of times. What do you think about the man?
Yeah, I've had the luxury or been fortunate to meet Sonny down to Southeastern Grain and Feed meeting in Georgia, and he seems to be a very, very good guy. I mean, I was extremely happy to hear that he was nominated for the Secretary of Agriculture. I think he will do a great job. He's been in the grain business. He owns some elevators down in Georgia and South Carolina. He knows the business very well. I think he's real easy to talk to. I think he'll be a great asset to the farm community.
Thanks so much, Kim.
Thank you.
That, of course, Kim Holzapple. He is with TGM out of Effingham, Illinois, traveling with me today at the Farm Credit Illinois meetings in Mount Vernon and this evening in McLeansboro. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Now let's check the agricultural energies. Harry Cooney is here from GrowMark. Harry, thanks for being with us. I've got a whole bunch of questions to talk about. Let's start with what you think the impact of the new administration might be on the price of energy. Have any ideas?
Well, good afternoon, Todd, on this rainy, kind of thundery earlier today, I guess it was there. You have a good question. The administration and what's going on out there, probably that activity probably gives us half or more of our questions when we go out in the country to meetings here now. I think there's a lot of people asking questions about, hey, I see the administration signing this bill, signing that bill, talking about reinstating pipeline activity and all that. The thing is, I think we're just going to have to give it some more time to see really what gets approved rather than just talked about and such. For the pipelines, for example, they just still help product move from one location to the other. I don't think that overall changes supply and demand overall. It maybe make some basis levels a little stronger or weaker in one area or not for crude oil, for example. But as far as a number of the other things that the administration's talking about, we'll just kind of have to give that a little more time. But this is a topic that we get a lot of questions about when we go out in the country now, and they're good questions. It's just that we're kind of wanting to know some of the answers to some of those same questions ourselves, really.
Can we explore where some of those answers might be coming from? For instance, do we know what position the funds have in the marketplace?
Well, yeah, the funds are in a big long position right now. So the funds have a lot of contracts on the long side. Of course, there's a buyer for every seller, a seller for every buyer, but the funds themselves have quite a bit of length in the market here now. Then there's other people taking the other side, of course, to balance those contracts out. But right now, the funds probably have as many or more contracts than they've ever had at any one point in time. That in itself can be a little caution flag out there, so we'll have to watch that as we go out into spring, because the seasonal price tendencies from here out into spring suggest higher prices in energy. So betting against a spring rally is usually not a profitable deal.
And finally, what do you think about the U.S. dollar?
Well, the dollar is going to be a big thing out here in 2017, because if the dollar continues to go higher like it ended last year, that can tend to dampen these seasonal rallies in energies, but it can dampen rallies in other markets also. So we're going to have to watch the dollar real close as we head throughout the year now with the new administration in their seats.
Hey, Harry, thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Don Day.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Fettuccine Alfredo Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1804, John Deere was born. An American inventor and manufacturer, he developed the first steel plow in 1838 and eventually founded John Deere and Company in 1868. As a blacksmith, he frequently repaired the wood and cast iron plows broken by the heavy clay soils of the eastern U.S. Deere's steel plows solved the problem. Originally, he used imported English steel for his plows, but he converted to U.S. steel when Pittsburgh steel plants could provide a suitable product. Deere also manufactured harrows, drills, cultivators, and wagons. In 1875, Sir Chester Beatty was born. An American-born, naturalized British mining engineer, he perfected a method for extracting copper from low-grade ore. In 1899, Hans Jenn was born. A Swiss agricultural chemist, he developed numerical functions to describe soil in his book, Factors of Soil Formation. The five factors, climate, that's temperature and moisture, organisms, relief, described as topography, parent material, that's the type of bedrock or sediment, and time. In 1938, Harvey Firestone died. His innovations included non-skid tire treads and farm tractor tires. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey, empowering individuals with financial education through their resource center. For online calculators, planning checklists, and articles, visit Busey.com. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined by Don Day. Now he's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Kind of thundery and stormy here this morning. Don, how about where you are?
Well, a little bit unsettled as the Pacific, which has been making it very stormy along the West Coast all winter, is continuing to be an issue here in the coming weeks, months, and we're feeling some of that as well. And as we look ahead, does look like some colder weather, though, on the backside of the system that's triggering that weather today. Do be ready for some colder temperatures in the Midwest.
No, let's just stay here in the United States for the time being. Tell me a little bit more about that cooler weather. When will it come and how cold will it be?
Well, the rain and the showers and the thunderstorms and the mild air that we are in now is going to be replaced by a Canadian cold front, and it's going to be pretty chilly. There's also going to be some areas of light snow developing north to south across the Midwest and Corn Belt tonight. And by tomorrow morning, there should be light snow across Iowa, eastern Nebraska, and most of central and northern Illinois, and that will move across the Ohio Valley. Amounts are generally going to be light, probably in the 1 to 4 inch range. But we're looking at overnight lows that by Thursday night and into Friday morning and maybe even Wednesday night in the teens and lower 20s in many areas.
Now, does this portend a return to more normal conditions for February, or are you thinking that things will be a little bit warmer than usual at this time of year?
Well, we're going to have a little bit of both. One thing we have seen so far early in this month and in late January, and will continue through the month, is up and down. Don't expect one particular pattern to hold completely. As the Pacific throws out these storms, it'll push warm air ahead of them, drawing cold air in behind them. So sort of this up and down, sort of a gentle roller coaster ride with temperatures and conditions is what we're expecting in the weeks ahead.
Tell me about weather in South America.
Well, it looks a little wet in Brazil especially. They're looking at some good chances of rain. Not necessarily short term. I do think for harvest operations here over the coming next 4 to 5 days, looks okay. A little bit of shower activity, but certainly as we get into the next week, it looks more wet, both in Brazil and in Argentina.
Yeah, and we'd like to know more about Argentina. They have had some real ups and downs, wet weather, dry weather. They're still in the middle of their season. Prospects for the next week and a half or 2 weeks?
Well, looks good. I think it'll be a little bit more stable. Precipitation chances look a little bit more even, but they're certainly there. So for any crops in Argentina needing some precipitation, the outlook is looking pretty good.
All right. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Check us out online, willag.org. There you'll find my travel schedule. I'm on the road today in Mount Vernon this morning, McLeansboro this evening, and then we'll head to northern Illinois tomorrow for First National Bank event in Sycamore. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.